Well, hello out there, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Oh, I've got one of my favorite guests in today. She's been in before, but she just says so many things. She has to come in more often, so, you know, it's this time of year for her to come in. And Beth McGlasson, welcome, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes. Beth McGlasson. Vice President of the Jersey County Historical Society.
Yes.
You're also on the Arts Council, right? What are you on the Arts Council?
I'm the Secretary Treasurer for the Jersey County Arts Council.
All right. Any other things that you do?
Oh. Vice President of Downtown Country Christmas.
Oh, you're just not busy enough, are you?
I have a hard time saying no.
Miss Jersey County. Mrs. Jersey County. Okay, well, we've got one of the coolest complexes for Jersey County Historical Society at the Cheney Mansion. So many cool things have been, over the years, I've actually seen them happen because I remember when actually the Historical Society bought the Cheney Mansion, and then things just kept happening and happening and happening. Of course, we got the Great Mansion.
Right.
Just touch on some of the other buildings and things that are there.
We have the one-room Lone Star School, which was out at the corner of Route 3 and 16, and it was brought in and placed on our grounds. That was our first addition after we bought the mansion.
Now, refresh my memory. Did they put that on a trailer and bring it in, or did they dismantle it and bring it in and then put it back together?
That was brought in on a trailer.
Okay.
They brought it in one piece. And the amazing thing about that school is it contains almost all of its original contents, thanks to the generosity of people in the community that had bought things when the school was auctioned off. So we have the school desk, the original writing canvas, because this was even before blackboards were used. The teacher's desk. I mean, it's fascinating. The oil lamps that were used on the side of the school. Just, it's like stepping back in time to walk into that school.
I know, I've seen it. It is really cool.
It is.
Do you know about how many one-room schoolhouses we had
72.
Back in the day?
72. We've done a book on the one-room schools. It's called Lunch Pails and Pigtails, and it includes tons of photos, not only of the buildings, but of the students that attended that. There's list of teachers, there's list of students, the history of each of those schools, and then we have memories from the kids who went to those schools that talk about what it was like to go to school back in the early 1900s.
My mom went through all 8 grades, a one-room schoolhouse over in Delhi.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my dad can remember when a plane would fly over and the teacher would take all the students outside to see the plane because they were so unusual.
Yes. Yep.
Isn't that great? Yep. So we have the school, and then we have the one-room Union Forest Church, which was down in the Otterville area. That was completed in 1920. And again, almost all the original contents are in that church. It's just a beautiful little church. We have 3 log cabins, which is our nod to Hickory Grove, which existed before Jerseyville. Mm-hmm. And Hickory Grove was actually 3 log cabins and the Red House, which the Cheney Mansion was built around.
Okay.
And then we have our museum. And this is the thing that's probably the most overlooked by the community. A lot of them don't realize we have a museum. We have a 10-room museum that contains, we have 2 sleighs in there, a 1914 Ford motor buggy. We have 3 additional old cars in there. We have Les Flott's collection, which fills an entire room. It is a huge collection of Indian artifacts. We have a mastodon bone and tooth that were found in Otter Creek.
Now, is that big block building?
It's that big, long building. Lois Flott, our genealogist, and our genealogy center is in the front of the museum.
Okay, all right.
And behind that, there's 10 rooms. We have a military room that's really amazing. It includes artifacts, pictures, stories of men who have served in the war from the Civil War forward.
Well, we're going to get to the Apple Fest
Okay. Coming
up. We're going to get to that. But first, while you mentioned Lois Lott with the Historical Society, let's talk about that a little bit. People don't realize what is in that and how great Lois is.
Oh, Lois is a gem.
I always tell
people she's not worth her weight in gold. She's worth my weight in gold, which is really saying something. Lois is fabulous. She has lived in the Jersey County area for a long time. But before that, she lived in Calhoun. So if you come in, she's probably going to know who your grandparents were, or your aunt and uncle. People are always just blown away by Lois when they get talking to her because she seems to know everybody in three counties.
She's good.
She is fabulous.
And she, how old is Lois?
Oh, we cannot go there. We cannot go there.
She's not as old as my mother.
She's in her 90s.
Is she?
Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
And sharp as a tack.
And the reason I bring that up is because... now that I'm in my mid-60s, I really appreciate people in their 90s, you know, the ones that are going around, you know, like
yes.
my mother and Lois and Ginger Gass and Barry Ritter. And these guys are people that are just still getting around and doing things and enjoying life.
And if you go in and you expect you're going to see some little old feeble woman, you're going to be very, very disappointed.
I know. But just touch a little bit on what people can experience with her in that.
So in our Genealogy Research Center, and that is open Thursday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm sorry, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That room has all of our family files. And the last count, we had over 10,000 surnames represented in our files. So let's say my maiden name, Breitweiser, you come in and you want to research the Breitweisers. You're going to go in and you're going to have a file with that name on it. You may find newspaper clippings dating back to the 1800s, photographs, family trees, school records. You just never know what you're going to find in those files. I mean, and of course, more common names, Jones, Brown, White. You're going to find four or five files that are just jam-packed full of information.
And businesses up and down the street, all the buildings, they have files on those.
Stanley Sinclair has done a phenomenal job of researching all of the businesses in Jerseyville. I mean, if you have a question about a business, just ask Stanley. He could tell you, you know, what every business located at 202 South State Street was going back to the 1800s.
And how does Lois keep up with this? Because she's busy every day, right? How does she keep all that going? Doesn't she
She does. She clips newspaper clippings every week. She's getting newspaper clippings. But, you know, people will share information with us when they come in and research. They may say, oh, well, here's some information I have. But in addition to all those family files, then we have all of the plat books and land atlas records going back to the 1800s. 1872 is the oldest one we have. So, you know, you can go on your land, your plat book now and say, hey, this is where I lived. And if you want to go back and see who all has lived there over the years, you can go in and look at maps and see that.
Well, let's talk about the Apple Fest coming up.
October 5th,
Saturday, October 5th. So that's just this week, the end of this week, it'll be here. So what's going on? It starts at what time?
9 a.m.
Okay.
And we have live entertainment from 9:30 to 5. We have some JCHS students that are going to come in and sing in the morning. The Gibson girls are going to be there. Cash Getton's going to be there. And then the John Hetzel family will finish off the day for us. We have 36 vendors that will be on the ground selling a variety of items. We have all the fabulous food that the Apple Festival is famous for, fried fish, chicken strips, fries, cornbread, ham and beans, and of course, Ringhausen's will be there selling apples.
Okay.
Because it is the Apple Festival.
It is the Apple Festival.
From 10 to 4, people can visit our pioneer our log cabin area. So it's centered around the log cabins. Uh-huh. We have demonstrators that will be quilting, spinning, weaving. Joe Ziegler will be there making lye soap for us. And then the kids, for $5, kids can complete a series of pioneer chores. They're going to be gathering eggs, milking a cow, shelling corn, doing laundry on a scrub board. And for every chore that they complete, they're going to get a wooden penny.
Yes.
And they can use that penny to shop for candy in our old-fashioned mercantile.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
Plus, perfect. we have two pioneer crafts that they can complete, and we have some pioneer games that they can, or some old toys that they can try their hands at and see how good they're at.
And they can visit the one-room schoolhouse.
Absolutely. All of our buildings are open for tours, and they can all be toured for $5 per person. That will get you into all of our buildings.
How about the Cheney Mansion? What are we doing there as far as tours go?
So we have tour guides in all of the buildings, but you can kind of wander around at your own pace. So it's not like, oh, a tour starts at 10. No, it's you go in whenever you want to and take your tour. But there's people around there that you can ask questions if you have questions.
Now, I know how many people are involved in putting this on. Any idea as far as the Historical Society?
Well, of course, all of our board is very, very involved in planning for this. There are 13 of us. And then it takes a load of volunteers, and I tell you,
that's what I mean.
If somebody's
listening and they wanted to get involved, I know that maybe not right now, but for the next years, they can come and get and help out, volunteer.
Absolutely, and I have to tell you, the gold mine that we have discovered in the last few years is high school students.
Yeah.
And it finally dawned on us that if we asked high school students to help us and gave them a paranormal event at the Cheney House, this is something that very much interests them. So we have 14 high school kids helping this year. So how
just
fabulous
one,
is that?
Yeah, just give them one paranormal event. But
in addition to the people that are helping with tours, the people that are helping on the grounds, the people that are helping in the kitchen, help Shirley Scott and her fabulous crew in there. We have so many people that donate desserts because we're kind of known for our homemade pies and desserts at the uh-huh. Apple Festival. You know, just...
Oh, it's a great day.
Oh, it is. It's so much fun.
It's a super day. Yes. Let's see. Well, does that wrap it up as far as the... About everything? Did we cover everything for the tour?
I'm forgetting something, but I think we...
There's a lot. Great place to bring your kids or grandkids or even your wife or
right. And
everybody. For everybody.
Just to put this out there, we aren't normally open for tours. We don't have regular hours at the Historical Society. But say you have a cousin that comes in and you'd love to tour the Cheney House, call up there and leave a message, and we'll be happy to arrange a tour for you.
Great. Now, you've got some other things. Well, I must say, if you're just joining us, I have Beth McGlasson, who's Vice President of the Jersey County Historical Society, and she's visiting with us today. And we're talking about the Big Apple Fest and a few other things. Tell me about this Dearly Departed tour that's in the mix.
So as soon as the Apple Festival is over, Connor Ashlock, one of our board members, is spearheading this this tour. And we've done this a few years ago. We kind of put it to bed for a while. We're bringing it back because people said, when are you going to do this again? So this is a tour that centers around funeral and mourning customs from years ago. And so when you walk into the Cheney House, you are going to feel as though you are walking into that house in 1900 when Prentice Dana Cheney passed away and was laid out in the parlor, as all most people were back then. So the parlor is going to be set up with the casket, the chairs, all of the clocks will be stopped, the pictures of people will be covered. And during this tour, we talk about, why was that? Why did you stop a clock when someone passed away? Why did you cover pictures when someone passed away?
I have a question. Why didn't they just go to the funeral home? There was no funeral home, right, back then?
Well, back then, if you went to the funeral home, it was because you had no family to bury you. I mean, it was kind of like a poor thing. It was if you were pitied if you were laid out at the funeral home, because that meant you didn't have family to lay you out at their home.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, just like the olden days, what era was that? As far as what's the timeline that people
one of my uncles died in the 1940s and he was still laid out at home.
Oh, he was.
So yeah, so the 50s I think is when they really started transitioning to funeral homes, when everything was taken care of at a funeral home. But so the other thing we talk about is embalming. And how did embalming come around? I don't know if you know this, but the Civil War played a huge part in embalming becoming a common practice. And so that's something else we talk about. It's a fascinating tour.
Oh,
it really is. A lot of discussion about Civil War and all the mourning. You can imagine losing all of those men in America during the Civil War. We talk about mourning customs. How did it come about that you wore black when someone passed away? And it's just a really fascinating tour. It really is.
Well, that's... sounds great. I know I'm going to make it. Now, when you do that tour, are you going to have it several nights, or do you?
Yes, we have several dates throughout October that are available. We will be posting those on our Facebook page. We'll be sending a press release to the newspaper and to you, so you can advertise it and let people know.
It will fill up. How many people are you going to be able to get through that tour?
Oh, you know, we like to limit it to no more than 10 at a time, so you can really, because we're in pretty well all the rooms of the house, and it gets pretty crowded at times if you get more than that.
Okay, sounds great. Can't wait for that to happen. I did the old school tour in Otterville, the Otterville School.
The Hamilton Primary School.
Mm-hmm. And we went a few other places too.
Oh, when we did the Underground Railroad tour?
Underground Railroad tour. Yes. That was really great.
Next thing I'm really wanting to do is cemetery tours.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I'm a ghoul. I love cemeteries. I love the history of cemeteries. I just think it's fascinating to walk through them and learn the stories of the people who are buried there. You want to talk about history, go to a cemetery and start researching the people that are buried there.
I hear you. Now, also, I hear, I mean, you just can't get enough on your plate, but tell me about Country Christmas this year. I hear you got a new group taking over, going to help out.
Well, Downtown Country Christmas, I know
it'll be here before we know it.
It will be here before you know it.
Like a couple months away.
So we are transitioning the team in charge of that. Mm-hmm. Michael Ward has headed that festival since day one. Oh, my heavens. If I had a nickel for every hour he put in on that project, I would be a rich woman. I'd be owning Tahiti right now. So he and Julie Sajay Pullman and Kathy and Bill Ward, they've all just done so much work over the last 10 years. And quite frankly, they're tired.
Yeah,
they're ready to take a step down, a well-deserved break. And so we are in the process of transitioning to a new team coming in. This is the 10th anniversary of Downtown Country Christmas. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it, but that's great. I love
it.
It's been a big hit.
It has been a fabulous hit and has become just so well-received in Jerseyville and the surrounding area, just all over, actually, the Metro East. We have people from all over that come in for that festival, and it really is a great way to kick off the Christmas season because
it's
the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So.
Yep.
Yeah, so again, you know, if you'll watch Facebook and the local newspapers and listen to WJBM, we'll be sending out information, asking for help, because it sure takes a lot of people to make that happen as well.
Yes. How about the Jersey Council, the Jersey County Arts Council? Tell me about that. I know you're involved in that as well. What goes on there?
So the Jersey County Arts Council, we just finished up the Farmers Market last night. That was our last night at the Farmers Market.
Okay.
Every week, we put together about 50 Art to Go sacks, and there's a different project every week. This week, it was pumpkins. So they get basically a lunch sack that is filled with everything that they need to make whatever the art project is that week. And these are free. They're free to anyone who wants it. All you have to do is come to the farmer's market and I did the math. I don't remember how many, 600 and something that we gave away
this
year at the farmers market. So that's one of our big projects. We do reading in the park with the local school district during the summer. You may have noticed the scarecrows up at Germania. We just had our annual scarecrow contest where people enter and, you know, do whatever creation they want as far as a scarecrow.
And you did the cows.
We did the cows for the fair parade.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And you may have noticed that a few people have started painting on their Halloween windows. This was something I really wanted to see brought back to Jerseyville, because I can remember when all of the windows in Jerseyville were painted by, do you remember that? When they were painted for Halloween.
Yeah,
A lot of school groups did this.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have that for a number of years. And I said, oh, I have such great memories of that. And I really want to bring that back. And so we're doing that this year, and all the assignments have been made, so you're going to start seeing the Halloween windows come together. So in the next couple of weeks, watch
for
them.
All right. Well, downtown is looking so great, and it's people like you and all your everybody that's involved in these groups and organizations that have made it.
I tell you what, the city of Jerseyville is great to work with. They do some great things with the organizations around here, and kudos to everyone involved with that organization, and that's, you know, they're great.
Well, Beth, we've run out of time. Can you believe it?
I could talk for five more hours.
Well, any last bits of wisdom to this interview?
One thing that I didn't mention for the Apple Festival, there is no charge to get on the grounds. You know, anybody can come onto the grounds and just wander around and enjoy the vendors, enjoy the music for free. There's no charge for that. But like I said, there will be food to purchase. You can do a tour if you want to. You can do the pioneer chores if you want to. If not, just poke around and have a good time.
And enjoy the day.
Absolutely.
And you can walk up and down the streets of Jerseyville, too.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.